And we will move on to the fifth case for this morning, which is United States against Rivera. Ms. Christensen. I guess Ms. Christensen, part one, right?
Yes.
Okay.
The sequel will be in about 20 minutes.
Right.
May it please the court, counsel. My name is Joanna Christensen, and I'm with the Federal Public Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois. I represent Mr. Rivera in this appeal. We are arguing on appeal that Mr. Rivera's 37-month sentence is unreasonable, primarily because it fails to take into account the circumstances of the offense. As the court is aware, this was a walkaway from a halfway house, and Mr. Rivera returned to the halfway house within 24 hours of walking away. Had he not qualified as a career offender, his guideline range would have been 0 to 6 months. Instead,
Ms. Christensen, let me just tell you, I mean, your case seems to me, or Mr. Rivera's case, very much a kind of on the one hand, on the other hand situation. On the one hand, the discussion before the district court at the sentencing stage strikes me as highly tethered to the guidelines, where the district court doesn't seem comfortable changing or moving outside of the guidelines range. And that's the tenor of the discussion that Mr. Nagel had with the judge and so on, which in a post-Booker world isn't quite right. You know, we've begun to have more clarity about how first you do have to calculate the guidelines properly, but then you can step back and say, does this give me a reasonable sentence? And so there's that problem. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, in the final analysis, Judge Gettleman says, I think this is a reasonable sentence for this man. And so he does seem to have made the ultimate conclusion that a 37-month sentence is a reasonable one, and it is certainly within the guideline range, as this court understands career criminals and the like. And what's to show that that's wrong?
I think that Your Honor is very right about what happened in this case. It's kind of we're talking here and then we're talking here, and I believe that Judge Gettleman had a very difficult time in this sentencing hearing and clearly struggled with the decision that he ultimately made. When the court's talking about the steps that the district court must take after Booker, and that's calculating the guideline range, you mentioned then you take a step back and look at the broader picture under 3553A. I believe that's where the error in this case really happened. I don't think the district court did that step back. First, we have the district court saying the probation officer has identified these grounds for a departure, and analyzing such a departure in a pre-Booker way, saying, well, the government doesn't necessarily have notice of a departure, and I don't feel I can depart without giving notice. That legally actually is not case. This court has held that the pre-sentence report is notice to both the government and the defendant of a possibility of departure. Mm-hmm. Then, after deciding maybe the court can't depart, they address this issue about whether someone can receive the four-level downward adjustment if they're a career offender. And the judge concludes that they cannot, which most likely is correct under the guideline system.
Well, I mean, and that gets you to your guideline range. But then the next question is the guideline range something that is, as it were, advising an appropriate sentence on the particular facts of this man's escape?
I think the guideline range did a good job of advising generally what career offenders who escape should be sentenced to. And the judge seemed to be stuck in that consideration. At the end says, well, I'm giving you the low end to take into consideration the nature of the offense, and seems to feel constricted by the low end of the guidelines, saying, well, since I can't go downward these four levels, I feel that this is the bottom that what I can do.
But on the other hand, you know, if you read the rest of this, I mean, Mr. Rivera has his unattractive side. I mean, he's barely there at the Salvation Army before first he dissembles and goes away and gets himself shot up with heroin, and we're talking about 4 days, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so
he was there for a very short period of time, and we're certainly not disputing that Mr. Rivera has a serious history, He certainly technically qualifies as a career offender, and that's not disputed. I think that this sentence, however, does not reflect the other side of the coin, which is the nature of the offense. And certainly, we're not asking that he be sentenced in the 0 to 6 month range, recognizing that perhaps that's not appropriate given his characteristics. But we are asking that the nature of the offense be considered in his sentence, which we feel was not done by the district court, partially because it felt constrained to sentence within the career offender. I also wanted to bring the court's attention to the 28J letter that was filed yesterday, and assure that the court has read and received it. The Ninth Circuit, of course, has departed from every other circuit in the country, not surprisingly, and determined that walk-away escapes are not crimes of violence. That issue was not raised, and of course, we probably would not prevail if it had been raised, given the Seventh Circuit's jurisprudence. However, they do have an interesting paragraph in their opinion about Section 2P1.1 and those levels that would be given to the defendant otherwise. And primarily, in the case of United States versus Piccolo, Mr. Piccolo has an actual worse record than Mr. Rivera. He walked away from a halfway house, but he came back, I believe, more than 6 months later. So he would still get a downward departure for coming back voluntarily, even though it was 6 months later. Mr. Rivera, of course, was gone less than 24 hours. He was also in the halfway house for a supervised release revocation rather than an actual crime, which Piccolo was incarcerated at the halfway house for an actual crime. Unless the court has further questions, I will reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, that's fine. Mr. Nagel?
May it please the court. My name is Patrick Nagel. I represent the United States, the appellee in this matter. The district court sentenced the defendant at the low end of the applicable advisory guideline range. Because the district court accurately calculated the defendant's guideline range, a rebuttable presumption exists that the sentence was reasonable, and the defendant has not shown that in this case the sentence was unreasonable.
But I'll tell you, Mr. Nagel, my question for you is really the same. Reading this sentencing transcript, there comes a point where Judge Gettleman is talking about essentially his ability. He uses the word departure. He says, I'm not sure it would be a departure or whether it would just be application. And he's talking about taking points off. And what I don't sense from this is confidence that once he's properly calculated the guideline range, he isn't required, as he would have been under the old system, to justify a departure in the same way. He has the ability to look at marginal deterrence under 3553A and the particulars of Mr. Rivera's offense, which was, as escapes go, it wasn't that terrible an escape. And I don't find his awareness of that discretion in here.
Early in the sentencing hearing, the judge does explain that he needs to take into account the factors set forth in 18 U.S.C. 3553. And throughout the sentencing hearing got a little bit off track in the sense the defendant was arguing that there should have been reductions to their career offender level. And after that issue is resolved, the judge comes back to the very factors that are considered in 3553. In particular, the judge points out the seriousness of the offense, and he explains how an escape, even an escape such as in this case where the defendant returns shortly thereafter the following day, does put in jeopardy the entire halfway house system, because if we're going to have in our communities these unguarded facilities, we can't have them as a come-as-you-go type of facilities. I mean, the community deserves more than that. And in this particular case, there's an aggravated factor in that when, as you had pointed out earlier, when the defendant first arrives at the halfway house, he's released for his first unsupervised visit to go to the Veterans Administration to pick up some medicine, and he comes back in the custody of the Chicago Police Department for having attempted to buy heroin on the street. He's subsequently drug tested, tests positive for heroin, and is specifically placed on no movement status and is told, you can't leave this facility at all for any reason. So the very next day, he's gone. And he did that. And this all transpires, including his escape, within a four-day period. So there is sort of an aggravating sense that, you know, this is not how the halfway house system is supposed to work. And I think the judge felt very strongly about that when he was factoring that in his sentencing. In addition to that, the judge did point out the defendant's own history and characteristics, and the fact that the defendant's lengthy criminal history includes 26 convictions, including 5 narcotics-related offenses, 2 prior bank robberies who were separately charged, separately convicted on, as well as 2 supervised release revocations.
What are all these offenses stealing meat? I mean, it sounded like Jean Valjean or something.
The defendant, from the criminal history, it would appear that the defendant in his earlier days was stealing food and other things, and sort of over time graduated to higher levels of crime, burglary,
essentially
bank robbery. Exactly.
You start out with ham sandwiches and work your way up the deal.
Exactly.
Hamburger.
Man had a deep hunger besides for drugs, but there you are.
And the judge thought that that was disturbing to him. In fact, the district court judge had sentenced the defendant on a prior case and was now revisiting the defendant at another sentencing, and felt the defendant's criminal history warranted the low end of the applicable guideline range. And that sort of goes along with the need to afford adequate deterrence, which you know, I think the district court also pointed out that Mr. Rivera is someone who is in need of deterrence and has not been deterred in the past. So,
right, but of course, the judge also recognizes the other side of that. If you know, look, the next time Mr. Rivera decides to escape from someplace, if he manages to do it, he's certainly not going to turn himself back in again the next day, because what's the point? He's still in the guideline range.
Well, the district court did point out to him that he was receiving the 37-month low end of the range specifically because he did turn himself back in.
Right, but he's not getting – that's not very much of a benefit.
Well, the point of deterrence under 3553 is to deter an individual from committing the crime in the instant in the first place rather than, you know, rewarding
No, there's future deterrence. Future deterrence is certainly a purpose of sentencing.
And another aspect of the deterrence in this case is to deter other people at the Salvation Army from taking off and saying, oh, I've got a free day pass because if I come back in a certain period of time, you know, I'll get credit for that and then it won't be that big a deal. Mm-hmm. So I think it works both ways. Okay. In any case, the district court did consider these factors when arriving at a decision, in addition to the guideline calculations, and I believe that the court did find that the defendant's sentence of 37 months was reasonable, and I respectfully ask the court to affirm the district court's decision in this matter.
Do you know that when prisoners are placed in these halfway houses, whether they're given, with their list of rules and regulations, some explanation of how this particular guidelines reward or incentive, whatever you want to call it, works?
I'm not certain if they're notified about the guideline calculations if they were to escape. I do know that they are given, there is a procedural manual, and they are instructed as to what the rules are while they're in the facility. The halfway house facility is meant to sort of be literally a halfway house, a place between incarceration in a secured facility and freedom on the street, and it's usually given to individuals in the later stage of a sentence prior to their release, so as to acclimate them to their freedom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
As you can see, you're pretty free, but not really.
Yeah, right. Ms. Christensen.
Thank you. And I would concur. I don't think they're warranted what the guideline range is. I'm not exactly sure how one would accomplish
away,
that.
Come right back.
And 2P2 is actually very complex. It depends why you're in, actually where you start at the offense level, when you come back, whether you commit an offense. It's pretty complex to describe, although I wouldn't put it past some defendants to actually think about it. I think that when we're talking about deterrence, we are talking about deterring Mr. Rivera, of course. We're also talking about deterring other defendants. And I'm not sure that this sentence says to people, well, make sure you come back. You know, we know that you might leave. It happens, particularly in these situations. But we're not going to take any account whether you come back now or later, whether you commit another felony offense while you're gone, whether you have to be captured. It's not going to make a difference. If you're a career offender, you're not getting any credit for that. And I don't think that that's what the guidelines meant to do, and I and the judge clearly struggled with that decision. Just shortly, Castro-Juarez is this court's recent decision that talks a little bit about downward departures after Booker and how the district court is to accomplish downward departures, which really have ceased to exist in the same way, and also the way this court will review them. And I think the district court judge was really stuck in pre-Booker guideline rhetoric and felt constrained by the downward departure rules and by the guideline rules. We would ask this court to reverse Mr. Rivera's sentence and remand for resentencing. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you to both counsel. We'll take the case on.